My name is John Challis, and you're listening to Doctor Who's Line Is It Anyway, where everything's made up, neither script nor canon matters.
Hello, listeners. Hello, lovely, lovely listeners, and welcome back to Doctor Who's Line Is It? Anyway, this week, as promised, we are reviewing the first of the three 60th anniversary specials, The Star Beast. So, without any further ado, let's get on and see what everybody thought of it. Right, well, here's what I thought. I liked it. I thought it was very good. I thought it was, it's great to have Doctor Who back in the first place. But it was a very good story. It was obviously very similar, because it was always going to be, to the original comic strip back in 1979-1980. Obviously, for those of you who haven't watched it, you need to watch it first of all, because otherwise you'll be spoilt. But yeah, the Meep, the cute creature that turns out to be the evil villain, it's fairly obvious it was going to happen right from the start, even if you didn't know the story. But really, this is secondary. The Meep and the Wrath Warriors, great though they were secondary to the whole 14th Doctor Donna plot and resolving what happened there from previously with Donna's meta crisis and the problem that she had, obviously, with not being able to recognise the Doctor without being fatally injured. Well, obviously she wasn't fatally injured, because she was never going to be, was she? And all was resolved happily, with the metacrisis being spread over Donna and her daughter Rose, her daughter born son, now obviously transgendered. So more about that later, I'm sure. But yes, it was all very well done. It looked glorious. It sounded glorious. The music throughout was very good. Murray Gold, David Tennant, Catherine Tate in fine form throughout. Nice to see UNIT back. Thought we were going to see Wilf, but we didn't see Wilf. I think we will see Wilf, because we know that they filmed things with Wilf, so this is all to come. We also know Rose is back into it, so that's good. The Meep was... I felt from the first time that I saw the Meep that it didn't look as cute as the comic book version, which was sort of rounder. This looked quite baggy. But it sounded very cute. It acted very cute all the time that it needed to. Miriam Margolyes playing the part. And obviously, when it needed to be evil, it was very evil. So all good on that score.
I love the episode. Absolutely love the episode. My most favorite thing, of course, is the Meep.
Well, obviously.
Because I love the Meep. Yes. In both its forms.
Well, I enjoyed it. I must be honest, I felt a bit hooed out the last couple of weeks. What are all the different things dropping, like Tales in the TARDIS, Tales from the TARDIS, and, you know, different interviews and everything. And tonight, I won't say it felt like an anticlimax, but I was thinking, oh yeah, of course, tonight's the new episode, isn't it? But I watched it late on Saturday evening, and I enjoyed it. I think Tennant and Noble... let me rephrase that. David Tennant and Catherine Tate were marvellous. Catherine Tate in particular, I think she's a powerhouse of an actor.
Yes.
Very good, very forceful. She hasn't aged a bit. Tennant is looking a little bit older, but I think she carried it. Her emotions range so well, from silly to serious to heartbreaking to forceful. Absolutely wonderful. I also, I love the fact that we had so many old characters coming back, you know, the Noble family, we'd love to see them. Yeah, I mean, the story was a bit lightweight, it was a little bit frothy in places, but, you know, I just enjoyed seeing, I think more than anything, I just enjoyed seeing David Tennant and Catherine Tate back together.
I thought it was all very well constructed. The plot rattled along at a fair old pace. It was an hour, and it shot by. The early scenes with the Doctor and Donna, obviously not recognising the Doctor, were well done. The doctor obviously then wanted to avoid Donna, then realised that she didn't recognise him, so he could actually go back and spend time with her, and had to resolve the problem. So, yes, I think they dealt with that probably as well as they could have done. The special effects, obviously, were great. The extra budget, I think, showed very, very well. So, yes, I think overall, on the whole, I liked it.
Absolutely loved it. Yeah. I think it wasn't perfect, but it was fun. Absolutely fun. Made me laugh and just reminded me how much I love these characters and why. And, of course, we got to meet Rose. I know there's been a few weirdos that are not really Doctor Who fans who seem to think that the trans issue wasn't quite right. My only issue about it is trans people are people.
Yes.
It shouldn't be a big deal. I love the fact that we have diverse characters. But then they suggested that Rose is trans because of the situation of the Doctor being male and female and the sort of residual power. And I'm not sure whether that... I don't want to use the word normalise, but trans people are trans. It sort of like made a reason for Rose to be trans, which isn't just she's trans. But I'm sure I'll get over that because of it was absolutely brilliant and empowering. There was a quote, which I will add at the end because I can't find that, about the diversity and their recruitment for the series, which I loved. So I will add that when I find it. I like the energy of the episode. David Tennant's Doctor is always full of life and energy and leaping around and excitement. There were less sorries. Doctor has learnt to say I love, but still what? Lots of whats.
What?
Just made me smile hugely.
What didn't you like about the episode?
I couldn't watch the title sequence.
No.
Because the title sequence was so flashy that it would have brought on a seizure. So I did not watch the title sequence, but the music was amazing. So the music was awesome.
The spilling of the coffee at the end, it just seemed a bit silly and naff.
Yeah.
But Donna had already pointed out that she got sacked for spilling coffee on the computer at work, which may just be Donna. But on the other hand, maybe this was all meant to happen, just the same way that the Doctor's face regenerated to be the same as 10, and the TARDIS materialised near Donna, the lives kept bumping into each other. They were drawn together, maybe the idea of the coffee machine being there and her spilling the coffee was because they're meant to go wherever they're meant to go in the next episode.
Oh, the sonic screwdriver, I mean, it's a bit souped up now, isn't it? All those things it was doing, I mean, making screens in front of the Doctor's face so he can view things, then making those like those force shields, or be a sort of like protection shield, I don't know. The jury's out on that one. I'm waiting to think about that.
When the city split in half, and the streets were splitting in half,
yes,
and the energy was running through.
Yes.
It bothered me that when the energy came back to the ship, the streets came back together.
Yeah, exactly.
It would have been cooler and kind of more realistic if the streets would have stayed split. I know that would have kind of left a big mess and everything, but it didn't bother me that much, but it was like, oh, I think they should have left the streets split.
Yeah, agreed.
I guess it was indicative of everything healing, so that was okay too.
Whilst I'm obviously all in favour of the whole diversity thing and the inclusion of trans characters and trans actors, I did feel this was a bit heavy-handed with it all. The whole speech to that Donna and Rose made to the Doctor about an identifying male Time Lord wouldn't understand, and the whole thing that it needed to be a binary thing to conclude it. It felt like that's what Russell wanted to get in right from the start, and it was, I felt it wasn't a bad thing. It can't ever be a bad thing, this kind of thing, but I did feel it was a bit heavy-handed, and it felt a bit cringy as a result of that. It felt like it wasn't deftly handled. And we've seen this before with things from Russell when he wants to particularly make a point that we don't have the subtlety. I will draw the comparison here to the recent thing, obviously, with the Children in Need trailer with Davros, and then saying, right, no, this is, we don't want Davros to be wheelchair bound anymore because that's a bad representation of wheelchair users, and so we're rewriting it so that this is what Davros is. Don't agree with that at all. I think that for any minority that wants to be treated the same as everybody else, which is obviously what should happen, then that's it. So there should be positive representation. There should also be negative representation. I don't mean negative of the representation itself, but a character that somebody from a minority group plays should be able to be good, bad, indifferent. And Davros has always been portrayed, he was conceived as a character that was injured and created his own life support unit and lived therefore for the rest of his life on that. I think going back and saying, no, we don't agree with that, so we're going to completely rewrite it so that that's the case, don't agree with that at all. I think if you want to do it as an alternative timeline, so that there's a timeline in which Davros wasn't injured, then that's a perfectly fine way to do it. But don't just disregard everything that's gone before just because you don't like a certain thing to do with it, because otherwise, where does that stop? Do you rewrite the Cybermen so the people who've had cybernetic implants and artificial hearts and things don't take offence to it? You know, there's got to be a cut-off point for this. And whilst, as I say, I'm all in favour of having positive representation for any ethnicity, sexual inclination, disability, this is all fine. There's a way to do it, and there's a way that feels like it's going a bit over the top.
I love classic Davros. I like new Davros. I don't really care. I'm a wheelchair user, and I really never thought of Davros in a wheelchair. I always thought he was in a mobile life support system.
Yeah, he was.
So that was kind of odd to hear that it was because of feeling that, you know, a person in a wheelchair was depicted as evil, and that's why he's now on two legs. And as a wheelchair user, it didn't even dawn on me. I was thinking he was in a life support system. So it was no biggie for me. I like both characters. I like both characterization, I guess I should say. So it doesn't really make that big of a difference to me. But to be honest, he could have stayed in the life support system.
Yes.
It didn't offend me. You know, in real life, you're going to find people that are nice and not nice on two legs.
Yeah.
And you're going to find people that are nice and not nice in wheelchairs. Exactly. That's what reality is. I mean, I was standing with my walker and was almost taken out by somebody in a wheelchair. So the reality of this situation is, you know, people are people, and then they're going to have varying temperaments. So it doesn't make a difference whether you're standing or you're in a chair. The mobility doesn't really make a difference. But
yeah.
I just never even thought about him being in a wheelchair as opposed to just being in a life support system.
I'm unsure about Davros, I must be honest. When I saw the Children in Need special and I saw he was, like, you know, an able-bodied guy in his 50s, I did think, oh, maybe this is Davros before the accident. But then with the Unleashed mini-episode afterwards, Russell is clearly saying, no, this is how Davros is going to be from now on. I was unsure about it for a long time because I've never thought of Davros, to be honest, as being a wheelchair user.
No.
It always seemed like a life support unit to me. I've never thought of him as being disabled, to be honest. I just thought he had an accident and this kept him going, basically. This mobile device kept him going. I'm okay with it now. I've kind of, you know, sort of like, I won't say calmed down, but I've got my head around it and I think, fair enough, as long as, and this is important to me, as long as somewhere along the line they explain his change of appearance.
Yes,
you can't
yes.
discount all his previous appearances.
No.
There have been so many plot threads and stories that have hinged on Davros being in, you know, his chair, yeah, basically. Yeah. So if they're going to have Davos this way from now on, fair enough, but please, somewhere along the line, give us a reason for him looking like this now, whether it's the Flux or the Time War, blah, blah, blah. I presume the Flux, maybe, but, you know, please just give us a reason. OK, thank you. That's lovely.
I never saw Davros spin a wheelchair. The Kaleds, they had evolved. And so I thought the way that we saw Davros was him evolving, either because of something had happened with the Kaleds that he couldn't have power over, or that he was trying to make him and the Kaleds better, and being in that machine gave him powers. But that there is a trope of people with disabilities having evil roles is definitely the case in a lot of fantasy, sci-fi, and, you know, James Bond. I think the way of dealing with that is to put people with disabilities, and all sorts of disabilities, in empowering and strong roles.
Yes, yes, yes.
And just being aware at the moment that you shouldn't leap to putting people with disabilities in those evil places. So I can see the point, and maybe I'm not in a position to comment. Not sure anyone is, really.
Where we have this comparison here is obviously in this story, we had the character of Shirley Bingham, played by Ruth Madeley, who was a character in a wheelchair and played UNIT scientific advisor.
The only real comment to the wheelchair was when the soldiers apologised for the steps and she just said, don't make me the problem, just get on with it, because she offered so much more than being in a wheelchair.
Now, this is a great way of representing disabled characters, disabled actors, because the character was positive from the start, it was created afresh, and what we should have had with the whole Davros thing is possibly to have another character introduced that was a disabled character, a wheelchair user, and that should have offset things. So, yes, I thought that the inclusion of Shirley Bingham was great, and clearly a very positive, very powerful character that slotted right in straight away, right from the start, was very well acted, was very natural, and I think was good. So that's my view on that. I don't object to what they're doing. I just think it wasn't very well handled. It was too heavy-handed and done in a way that was just hammering the thing in to make a point. And didn't feel like it was a natural progression from where things should have gone from that point. So yes, that was that. Other than that, I don't have anything negative to say about it. I thought it was very good, very enjoyable, and great to have it back.
Moving on, the next bit. What did I think of the new title sequence and theme music? Didn't like them. What? Simple as that. To be fair, the music and the title sequence actually reminds me of the McCann movie. Mm-hmm. The twinkly piano in particular, and the way the credits sort of zoomed off. No, I just thought it was a bit like the McCann movie, but no, not keen on it. Not keen on it at all. I still prefer the original version from the 1960s up to the late 70s. Because it put the fear of God in you when you heard it, and I found the modern iteration of the theme tune just a bit too jolly, because I like my Doctor a little bit spooky, a little bit scary, and I'd like the theme tune to do that for me sometimes.
The new title sequence and theme music I thought were both excellent. The little additions to the theme music, which is fundamentally the same theme music as Murray Gold did before, definitely worked. I love the little piano bit in there, that was great, and the title sequence I thought was stunning. It was kind of a combination of what Russell had done before, what Stephen Moffat had done before, and things like the Tom Baker title sequence. So yes, really nicely done, really, really good. Similarly, the TARDIS, the new TARDIS console room, wow, that is, it's huge, it is massive. David Tennant running around it to demonstrate just how big it is, and we heard that it was big, and I was expecting it to be busier than that, but it's quite minimalist. The roundels are spectacular, the colour is obviously similar to how it used to be back in the classic series. Just a beautiful piece of kit, and looking forward to seeing more of that as we go along.
The TARDIS is stunning. Oh my god, it's bright white, it's beautiful, it's ramped, It is totally accessible, so it's great for wheelchairs. Yes, such fun. Such a beautiful, beautiful TARDIS. I was thrilled to see the inside. It was just gorgeous.
Absolutely marvellous. It very much reminded me of the original lovely white version, again, from the original iteration of the series from 2005. The TARDISes look good, but it's felt a bit messy. And, you know, when we've had the old TARDIS coming back in Capaldi episodes and Jodie's episodes, we've seen the original versions of the TARDIS. I've felt a sense of nostalgia, and this new one I think is the best of both worlds. It's huge, which is fantastic, but it also looks like the original TARDIS, and I love it. I was very impressed. I mean, I've seen all the, or heard all the rumours about, we've got a new TARDIS, it's going to amaze people, and I didn't know what to expect. I thought, you know, I had no idea what it's going to look like, so to see it sort of like pay homage to the original version of the TARDIS really touched me. I was very pleased with that. Very, very good.
The new TARDIS is awesome. It indicates the new era, I think. You can see splashes of the new money around in the size of the set. Yeah. And because it's David Tennant, still elements of Number 10, running around energetically and enthusiastically and loving the TARDIS.
Yeah.
I think it's excellent. I'm sure there'll be more to it because you need the Doctor to be able to be a bit intimate at times, and it is a huge space. I wonder how it will change when it shoots, or if it will change when it shoots.
I doubt it. Let's score it out of 10.
So, I bet you can guess what my score is going to be.
No.
10.
No.
If there was a number higher than 10, I would give it a number higher than 10.
Oh,
but 10. It was just, I loved it. I loved it.
So my view of the episode is going to be 9 out of 10. There's loads of questions like, who is the boss of the Meep who will be interested in the two-hearted person? Could it be the Celestial Toymaker? We know the Celestial Toymaker is coming, but we know very little about the next episode. Even the preview that came up doesn't actually say much about the next episode. So it's exciting. I understand it's going to be darker, and this was definitely a fun episode, and you can pick holes in why it is Donna and Rose both managed to let go of their Time Lord powers because they're women, and women can let go of things in ways that male-presenting Time Lords would not understand. I mean, I kind of agree. It wasn't perfect.
Out of 10, I would give it 7.5. It's clearly a bit of fluff from the story itself being a comic book story, although a much loved comic book story. The original comic book story took multiple episodes to come to a conclusion. This was obviously crammed into an hour and had to focus a lot on what had happened to the Doctor, what had happened to Donna, bringing the two of them back together, reintroducing the family, introducing Rose, and so a lot to deal with that as well. So similar to when the series came back with Rose, the story Rose, whilst the Autons were in it and they were the thrust of the story, if you like, of the main story, it was the character based side of things that took centre stage, and this was woven around that. It was very similar to that, and quite reasonable, as this is effectively starting another new era of the show, that we focus on that. So the story is always going to be a bit sort of light and fluffy in that respect. So hence why 7.5 for that, because of all the positives and the negatives that I've mentioned as well. So yes, 7.5, not a bad start.
I would give it an 8. I liked, it looks good. I mean, you've got to be honest, you can see where the money's gone. The effects were brilliant. Even the scenes in the noble's house, there's a very filmic quality to it. It looked quite rich and detailed. I enjoyed that a lot. You know, I'm going to talk about the elephant in the room. Is it too woke? No, it's not. I think it was handled deftly. For example, with Rose, and also Ruth Madeley's character in her wheelchair. I mean, reference was made to, oh, yeah, that's a good wheelchair. It's got rockets and things like that. So, you know, they're obviously bordering or touching on, you know, things to do with modern living. It was definitely done. It wasn't shoehorned in. And yeah, I think it's the right side of awareness, and done in a way that shouldn't offend people, I don't think. So, but no, I'll give this an 8 out of 10. And obviously, you know, with the next 2 weeks, things are going to be interesting, I think. But as a way back into the series, I would also say the introduction at the beginning with the Doctor and Donna, sort of giving a bit of a crash course into their history. I think that was very good, because not everybody knows about them, but it kind of succinctly put where they'd come from, where they were, and it set up the episode nicely. So, yeah, for me, it's an 8 out of 10.
Going on to the other things that have been happening recently, the Daleks in colour, I thought, was absolutely superb. The look of it was amazing. The colourisation was splendid. The story rattled along at a fair old pace, and I liked the way that they would have audio continuing to play when they put another scene in over the top that maybe had no dialogue on it, to trim the length of it down. There were chunks of it that were cut out, that some of them were a bit glaring and a little bit, you can definitely tell that there's been a cut there. But on the whole, I thought that they really did a good job with that. I would have liked to have seen it maybe 15 minutes longer to just give it a little bit more room to breathe. But on the whole, yes, because cutting a 2.5 hour story when run from start to finish, so taking out the title sequences and the recaps, running about 2.5 hours, cutting that down to half the length means quite clearly you are going to miss a lot. And it would have been nice to have kept a little bit more of it in, just to give it that little bit more room to breathe. But it did rattle along at a pace. I don't think it suffered adversely as a result of that. The colourisation seemed to, if anything, improve the picture quality a lot of the time, I thought, which was interesting. The music overall, I thought, was very good. There were a few bits where it got a little bit funky, and I wasn't so sure that fitted in all the way through. And I don't think it needed quite as much music as there was. There were times when there was music that was playing whilst characters were speaking, and the music was a little bit too prominent. Maybe something a bit softer going on in the background then would have been fine, but on the whole, absolutely beautifully done. And the clip selection at the end to show what was going to happen in subsequent stories, taken from various different random stories from the black and white era and all colourised, making you think, are they going to do this? Are they going to do this? Are they going to do this? Have they found the massacre? Have they? Ooh, just lovely. A labour of love, and very positively received. And of course, we don't miss what's gone previously, because we've still got it. So that is just lovely. Love to see that. Great.
Daleks in colour, my views. It was good. It passed 75 minutes. The colour was a bit jarring. I don't know. It was a bit too bright in places. I quite liked the soundtrack. I know a few people have been against Mark Eyre's soundtrack, but I thought it sounded good. It was okay. And it obviously glossed over the bits that they've edited. Although, I'll be honest, in places it was a bit too modern. Not all the way through, but once or twice, especially when they were sort of like cutting between scenes and showing, you know, quite rapid action that was obviously replacing what they'd edited out. It was a bit too frenetic, I thought, a bit too modern. But overall, interesting experiment. You know, I know a lot of people I've heard had ordered it on DVD and Blu-ray and since cancelled it because they weren't that impressed with it. But it was novel. I wouldn't say it was a resounding success, but it was an interesting way of going about it. And by the looks of it, you know, I think from looking at those are YouTube sort of video that Paul McGann narrated, sort of celebrating 60 years, and there was a colourised clip of, I noticed, Tomb of the Zydmen. So I wonder whether they've been talking about doing another episode, haven't they, or colourising one at the moment. So my money's on Tomb of the Zydmen for the next one, I think. But, you know, do they need to edit anything out? I don't know. I think it's a good story as it is. You know, maybe they'll take it down to 25 minutes or something. I hope not, but we'll see what happens.
Daleks being in colour, I really don't really care. Daleks are Daleks, and they're superb, and they've evolved. I kind of have a soft spot for the gold ones, but yeah, I'll take it.
Love the Daleks in colour. Don't really care.
An Adventure in Space and Time, the changes. Well, you mentioned this, didn't you, last week in your preview podcast, Miles. You hinted that maybe Shooty would step in to replace Matt Smith, and he did, and I thought it was very well done. I didn't watch it when they broadcast it, but I did record it, and I fast forwarded to that bit just to see if they might make those changes, and lo and behold, they did. So I liked it. I thought it was a lovely kiss to, you know, the modern era, and accepting that Doctor Who moves on and it changes. So yeah, lovely, really nice. I'm aware of other things were edited out, possibly to not offend the Cobans. I'm not sure exactly what. So, like I said, I haven't seen the whole thing all the way through. I did see the shooty scene, though, and I thought, lovely, well done. So, yes, that's a yes for me, definitely.
Understandably, because of recent events, they had to trim bits of it, which was very disappointing that we weren't able to get some of the dialogue from An Unearthly Child because of this ridiculous dispute that's going on. We really need that to be resolved. But how lovely to see Shooty come in at the end. And this potentially, as we mentioned in our previous episode, when Shooty said he'd filmed some scenes, or filmed a scene with William Hartnell, it probably does mean that this is what he was referring to. Although we can't rule out the fact that maybe they have done something, including the original First Doctor and the latest Doctor together, further down the line. But it does look, it does seem likely that this was recorded for An Adventure in Space and Time. And quite bizarre, really, to have, because obviously when this came on, first of all, and Matt Smith was there, it was William Hartnell seeing Matt Smith. It wasn't the First Doctor seeing the 11th Doctor. So this is effectively William Hartnell, it's David Bradley, but playing William Hartnell, seeing Shooty Gatwa. And whilst that's brilliant, we know he's coming, but you haven't actually seen him yet. So this would make a lot more sense in 6 months time, or 3 months time, or even just over a month's time, when Shooty is the incumbent character, the incumbent Doctor. That will make a lot more sense. You had to show it, obviously, on the anniversary itself, but it didn't make as much sense as it would have done if it had been shown after the Christmas episode. So, but yeah, just lovely, and it's such a well put together piece. Just a shame that they had to make those cuts to it, but very nicely done to include Shooty. And obviously what this does mean is that any time it's reshown in the future, it can be shown with whoever the Doctor is going to be at that time. So that's very nicely done. This seems to be a thing that's happening recently, doesn't it, with the Daleks, with the new dialogue that had been recorded for it, and changing what was seen as something that was, you know, it was just there, and if you're going to show it again, that's it. Now it seems you can show things, and you can change things before you show them. So something that we have to be aware of, because I'm sure there's more of this coming. We do know that there's more black and white colorized episodes coming along, so clearly we have to be prepared for that to happen again in this. And as a fandom, we mustn't rally against that and say, oh no, this has destroyed what's happened before, because as I say, you've got to remember that you haven't lost what's gone before. You still have the original, in the same way as when they do the animations and they do them in colour and in black and white, and people go, oh no, but it's colour, you can't, no, that's changed. Well, no, you haven't, because you always have the option of the black and white. And similarly with these colourised episodes, you're not going to lose what's gone before. You're just going to have the extra stuff going on.
I never actually saw the adventure of In Space and Time this time, but I saw the clip of Shooty being at the end, and I think that's great, because we move on, we move forward, and I am sure there will be future Doctors to come that have that place.
Yeah.
Loved the clip of the adventures in Space and Time. Thought that was awesome. With Shooty, thought it was awesome.
Some further thoughts on what we saw in the Star Beast and what is to come. Interesting, this is an interesting thing. Rose. We know Rose is coming back. We don't know in what capacity Rose is coming back. It's just assumed that this is going to be as Donna's family, and we're going to see Donna's family again. We think we're going to see Wilf again. We're pretty sure. Well, we know there have been scenes filmed with Bernard Cribbins, which, as I say, I was expecting this to be in this episode. Clearly, it's now going to be probably in the Giggle. I don't think we're necessarily going to see it in the next episode, but we don't know enough about the next episode to say for sure. So let's wait and see what happens with that. But we should be seeing Wilf again. We will be seeing Rose again. Rose, obviously, being a troubled character from the start, kept herself, himself, herself, their self to themselves, and made toys in the TARDIS-like shed. Interesting, that, isn't it? A character that makes toys. I wonder if that's going to have any bearing. Are we expecting maybe that the meta crisis that the Doctor and Donna went through opened a portal to a certain previously celestial being to come through, and this is going to be where the toy maker comes into it? That would be interesting if that happened, in view of the recent Davros incident. If a trans character then turns out suddenly to be the evil adversary. But yeah, we'll see. I don't necessarily think that that's going to be the case, but it is interesting that the character of Rose made toys. And
well, Tennant's face and what he's doing there, and why he's got that face back, I'm guessing it's going to be to do with the toy maker. Also, yeah. Looking at Doctor Who Unleashed, Russell talking about we're heading towards a scene or something that has never been done in this show before. Now, is that going to be to do with Tennant's regeneration? I'm wondering whether is the character of Rose going to play a part of it? Because if, you know, I mean, the resolution of her and Donna, you know, the meta crisis, was a bit kind of glossed over. It was a clever twist to have, you know, the power split between the two of them, but, you know, the two of them are still affected by it, and I wonder whether part of this might merge into the regeneration. Are the three of them gonna become one or something, you know? I don't know, just an idea, but obviously the way, just in, like I said, Russell T. Davis said that you know, we're heading towards something that's never been done before, so I wonder whether this could be, well, not necessarily a rebooting of regeneration, but, you know, is Shooter's Doctor going to be a different version of the Doctor, possibly? I don't know. Who knows? I'll go on record. I have been a little bit sceptical about Russell coming back. I've worried because, you know, it's almost been the equivalent of, you know, suddenly getting Verity Lambert back in, you know, sort of like in the late 70s. There's this return to, you know, a previous showrunner, and then he's brought in all the old production team, he's brought back Murray Gold. I mean, you know, it's almost like 2005 all over again, isn't it? You know, instead of Doctor Who Confidential, we've got Unleashed. My main concern, I think it's wonderful he's back, and it's great what they're doing with the show. My worry is what happens when he moves on. Do they go back to Moffat? I think at some point, you know, we've got to have somebody new coming in. It has concerned me a bit that they brought Russell back, because I've almost wondered whether the BBC were desperate and thinking, who can we get in? Let's get Russell. Yeah, obviously they've got plans for the show, but there is a part of me that also wonders if there's been a sense of desperation to get Doctor Who back to a previous state or a previous, you know, sort of version of what it was. I trust Russell totally, but I just hope that further down the line, because he's not going to be there forever, is he? You know, I hope that the next time there is a change, it's handled well, and just that basically the BBC just have a bit of respect for Doctor Who, because I think at the end of the day, I've got no qualms with Moffat, no qualms with Jodie. I think the BBC have just been a bit slapdash with scheduling, having big gaps between series. I think Doctor Who just needs to be consistent, and I hope that's what we're going to have over the next few years. Consistent Doctor Who with lots of love behind it, a nice bit of money, a nice bit of support. And, just let's share the love for Doctor Who.
So, in summary, I love the Star Beast. I'm really looking forward to what comes next, particularly the next episode, because we know so little about it. I just hope that they have better plot devices than dropping drinks in the middle of the TARDIS. I think TARDIS is better than that. But I think maybe it was meant to happen. It's like a big sign there. Coffee machine, Donna, spill drink here.
I really liked it. I really liked the episode. I was really excited to see the scientific advisor to UNIT in a wheelchair, with a wheelchair that had some awesome kick-ass rockets and things. I definitely want that wheelchair. I want that wheelchair.
God help us.
It had some really cool benefits. My chair does not do that. I do not have rockets on my chair, nor do I, you know, have lasers or anything like that. So,
really?
Unit, I would really like a new chair. You could just send it to the States. But yeah, that I was just, I was blown away and thrilled. And I now know who I am going to be cosplaying. I loved the diversity. I loved the diversity. I loved Rose. She was absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So thank you. It was an amazing episode. And congratulations, you did a wonderful, wonderful job for the 60th. And I can't wait till the next episode.
No.
So
that's really all I think we can say about what's going to happen next. Obviously, we know that the TARDIS is damaged and flying off into nowhere, and we know the next episode is dark and weird and unlike anything that's gone before. But we just don't know enough about it to draw any conclusions for that. So let's just wait and see what happens next week, and we will obviously come back next week and review it. So thanks to everyone who's contributed to this. It's been an unusual one because we couldn't, as you probably gathered, we couldn't actually get together. So everyone has given their thoughts, and we've just cobbled it together like this as best we can to give you our review of The Star Beast. We will be back next week with Wild Blue Yonder. Ooh, wow. Exciting. Exciting indeed. Until then, listeners, have a lovely week. We'll see you next time.
That's me.
Bye-bye.
Looking forward to next week. Lots of love, everybody. Take care now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Yes, listeners, join us next week for the review of Wild Blue Yonder. Cheerio. Take care.
From all of us here on BBC One, a very good night. Good night.